want to talk to you this morning about going from the cross of Jesus Christ, the ultimate altar that we've been talking about, preaching about, but now we have to go beyond the altar of the cross, and we have to going from the cross to the go, and everything that happens in between. I want to talk this morning as we again just understand what Jesus has done on the cross. A lot of Christians don't really fully comprehend, and maybe it's going to take us forever to really understand what Jesus has done on the cross for you and for me. Jesus died on the altar of the sacrifice, the cross of Calvary. Man could not repair the breach between him and God, or man could not pay back the debt of sin. Man was helpless. So God sent his only son, Jesus Christ. We all know that. Come on, how many of you can still quote John 3 verse 16? For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him shall not die, but will have eternal life. Come on, I mean, I wasn't even saved. I was a young boy. My parents took me to church and Sunday school. And I can quote one scripture. And that's one of them back then. I can quote a bit more now. So he paid the highest price. He died on the cross, on the altar, outside, publicly. There was nothing secret about Jesus dying on the cross. It was public for all to see. He paid the highest price. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. His blood was shed as a sin offering, which paid the price for our sins. He gave his life and died that we could live and also have eternal life. He made the way back on that altar, on that cross. His blood was the ransom money. Just think about it. Imagine if somebody took you captive, captured you. What do you think the ransom would be? Just think about that for a moment. His blood was the ransom money that redeemed and purchased us from the devil's slave market, where we were held in bondage to sin and cut off from his covenant blessings and the promises that God has for us. He was holy God and he was holy man. God himself couldn't come down. He had to put on the nature of mankind. That's why we know he was born of a virgin Mary. He came to this earth, so he was fully man, but he was also fully God. And he died on the cross. Only he was worthy and was able to die and take away the sin. None of us could climb on that altar. Only Jesus could die on the cross. You could have offered up and said, no, I'll go down the cross, but you wouldn't have had the capacity, the weight, the substance. You wouldn't have been able to redeem mankind. Why? Because we were sinners. Only he was able. He did it. He paid the highest price. He was innocent. He had no sin. He was the perfect lamb. And he took the debt of mankind willingly. Like I said last Sunday, they didn't tie him down. They didn't hold him back. Jesus willfully laid down his life. The Bible says, Jesus said that no man could take his life. Only he could lay down his life. And he bore everybody's sin and guilt and shame. And he became the sin offering on the final altar. Amen. The cross broke the power of sin. It broke the power of sickness. It broke the power of poverty. It broke the power of the curse. And through the cross, he restored us to a higher place now, a better covenant, the new covenant that has eternal promises, not just promises on this earth. So his blood paid the ransom and defeated the devil. And this is the basis that we are in a new covenant, and there is a blessing that comes into our life and on our lives. Our Heavenly Father's demand for justice was satisfied on the cross through Jesus. He was made a curse so you and I could be blessed. So we don't live under the old covenant anymore now. We can talk about altars and we can talk about sin offerings and blood offerings and the blood of animals and goats. And your pastor, which I do, I preach a lot out of the Old Testament, but we bring it through the cross into the New Testament. We are living under higher promises. Now we don't live under the old covenant. We live after the cross. Help me this morning. Tell your neighbor, say, we live after the cross. It's called the age of the new covenant. This is important. You might say, Pastor, I've heard this. This is so basic. Listen, it's the basics that we miss. You know, some theologians are so deep, they actually drown in their theology. It should be so simple that even a child can understand it. Amen. That's why I wrote a book called The Chicken Came First. When I was in business and before I was called into the ministry, I thought, no, we are confusing this. We're making it hard. We should keep it simple. The gospel is simple that even a child can understand. Amen. So there is a victory that is available for us in Christ. There was, like they say, there was an exchange that took place. And we can never underestimate the astronomical price that it cost our God to redeem you and me for the full benefit of salvation. Now, I know sometimes you go to a sports game or you go to a concert and there's different pricings. You can sit maybe up there and it only gives you access, or you get a VIP pass. You go to different places and depending on the price you pay, you get the full benefits. Maybe like DSTV, you've got a small package. You can only watch this channel and that channel. You can only get this bouquet of programs. But if you pay the full price, you get the full package. You get everything. And I want you to understand this morning that what Jesus paid for, you and I got the full package. He died for our sin. He died for our sickness. He died for our poverty. He died to remove the curse. He paid the full price. He didn't only just save you. He redeemed you. He crowned your life. He set your feet upon a rock. He's taken you places. It's a higher covenant. There is more. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. God's rain is falling on this place. If you would just see it. But you have to receive it. And I want to tell you this morning. That there is an enemy who doesn't want you to have the full package. He wants you to just have the small package. He will do everything in his power to keep you away from salvation. The day you get saved, it's like in my life, all hell broke loose. But I want you to know that he wants you to stay at a place of insignificance. And this morning, this is what it's about. It's going from the cross to the go and understanding everything in between. The crushing burden he took is... wasn't always easy to understand or fully comprehend everything that he had to do, that he sweated blood, the crush in Gethsemane. He tasted the depths of sin and misery. Isaiah 53 makes it very clear. Just the pain and the suffering that he went through. He went through the depths of that so that we could taste the heights of his blessing. We should not resist what he offers us today. Listen this morning, Kimberly. If he didn't withhold his son, what else will he withhold from you? We honor him instead by accepting and saying, yes, Lord, I receive what you have made available after and beyond your death. I receive everything that the cross and its benefits have for me as a Christian in 2026. This side of the cross, in the age of the new covenant. There's an awakening, there's a revelation that must come. You are not called to be a Christian to just come to church on a Sunday. You are called to walk with God and walk in His covenant blessings and be a man, a woman of faith and move mountains and usher in God's blessing. And see the curse broken over your city and over your nation. So we honor him by accepting all that he's done. We honor the cross, the altar, by receiving what it provided for us. His blessing, his new covenant. And I understand, like anything God gives us, you can take it to the extreme. Church should not be into materialism and selfish Christianity. But we are called to change a dying world. His blessings and new covenant is precious. It cost him his life. And we should never treat it casually, lightly, or without reverence. We should never take it for granted. But we should receive everything with an earnest and a grateful heart this morning. If you are thankful for what God has done in our lives, if you're thankful for what Jesus died on the cross for you today, then you can just say thank you right now. You can just honor Him. Thank you, Jesus. We receive everything that you have. So He died so we can have abundance. We're not beggars. We are sons and daughters. Amen. It wasn't a broken altar. It was a cross that He was broken on. You should not walk around with a broken spirit. Listen, Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness or in a time of trial. You're going through a storm. This, your spirit, not your soul. Remember I said the word of God will separate your soul and your spirit. It's your spirit that will sustain you. When you go through a battle, it's your spirit that will get you through. It's your spirit that will get you out of that drought. It's your spirit that will get you through that setback, that accident, that divorce, that bankruptcy, whatever you're going through. It's your spirit that will take you there. The new creation, the blessing. Okay, so there's the cross and what it means. Ephesians 1 verse 3, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You are not cursed now. No man can curse what God has blessed. You are a new creation. You're no longer the old. He has blessed. Oh, the rain of His blessing is here today. It is available for you and for me. Thank you, Father, for your healing. Thank you for your blessing. Oh, the river of God must flow in our lives and through our lives. The world needs to see God's goodness. Doesn't need to see your legalism, your bitterness, your anger, your failure. The world needs to see the goodness of God, which leads men to repentance. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, with whom there's no change or shifting shadow. God doesn't bless you today, curse you tomorrow. God doesn't put sickness on your life to test you. God doesn't repay us according to our sins. God forgives us. He forgave us by pouring out His wrath and punishing His Son. God is not punishing you this morning. You need to understand that. He poured out His wrath and His anger upon His Son. He pierced His Son. He turned His back on His Son. He was rejected, despised by man, so you and I can be accepted. He took on our poverty. Yes, I'll say it. That spirit of poverty has to go because it was nailed to the cross. He became poor that we can be in Christ, we can be rich and blessed. We shouldn't live a life of fear. Romans 8 verse 2, here it is. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We are not under the law of sin and death. We are now under a new law. The law of the life in the... Sorry, rewind there. We are in the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, and now He set us free. You and I are free. We're not under the law of sin and death. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is good news this morning. I am not under the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. I'm on this side. I'm on the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There is life in this church because our God is a God of life. He makes dead things come alive. He doesn't make you an upgraded sinner. You're not an improved sinner. No, you're a new creation. All things have become new in Christ. We are born again. We are born from above. And the greater one lives on the inside of you and me. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good news this morning. It's a new law. Remember, Adam was a living soul. Christ was a life-giving spirit. Don't live in the life of your soul always. Yes, you have a brain. You have to study. You have to You have to make decisions. You have a will. You have to surrender to God. But we're not Adam. We're Christ. We're in Christ. We're life-giving spirits. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, we're not carnal. We are spirit beings. We know what the cross means. We know what the altar did. And now we place our hearts on the altar, our lives. We present our bodies back to God, a living sacrifice without ropes. We don't have to tie you to come to church. We didn't arrest you or take you captive to come to church this morning. You came. Maybe you're a young person and your parents said, no, you're going to come. That's different. That's a good thing. You better thank your parents. But most of you came willfully. And I want you to know, if Jesus had to die on the cross again, he probably would. He doesn't have to, because one sin, one offering was good enough. So can I have that graph, please? I used to teach this as well back, and I have done a preaching or teaching series. You can put it up on the screen as well. The other one first, please. So if you can't see it from the angle that you're at, we'll put it up on the screen. The next slide, please. The one with both supply and demand. Now, economics 101, okay? For those of you who aren't in, who haven't studied economics, the most simplest principle, the foundations, like your ABCs, your 1, 2, 3s, is supply and demand. Price is determined by a supply of something. Can we get can the market supply enough of it? And is there a big enough demand? And we know with price, please keep the slide up. Keep it up until I tell you to take it off, please. Right there, you see that pink circle? That is the cross. That is the intersection where there is a supply and there's enough demand. That's where the price is. And when you pay the price, there's a transaction. Something happens. There's an exchange. It's a beautiful principle. I'm sure the person who thought about this was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because it's a beautiful picture of the cross of Jesus Christ. He paid the highest price. This is the y-axis going up. The x-axis is the quantity. He paid the highest price for everybody. No man could pay the price. Next slide, please. No. It was no yieldemal verkeerd. And we practiced this. We had one job. Okay, anyway. The yellow slide, please. Supply. Now, supply represents everything. Whatever product, market, service you can think of. Maybe you work in a business. You buy and sell stuff. What do you bring to the market? Now, I want you to know, Jesus Christ died on the cross. And today, he supplies forgiveness. Today, he supplies his blessing. Today, he supplies his favor, his healing, his goodness, his blessing, newness of life. Any person, whether you black or white or colored or Asian, whether you're South African, American, Chinese, Iranian, Israeli, whether you're Australian, whether you are in Europe, whether you're the Viking land up there with the Swedes and Norwegians, any person that has been created by God, if any person would hear the gospel, I want you need to know that there is a supply, there is a river of forgiveness for them to receive. Next slide. So obviously it takes two. It takes two to tango. It takes two. God can supply all the forgiveness. He can do everything on the cross. If there's no demand, there's no transaction. There's no demand. There must be a demand. There must be a people of faith that believe in the cross, what I just preached now. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and that he paved a way for you to go to heaven today. There has to be a demand by you. You and I have to place a demand. Because if we place a demand on his supply, last slide, you see there's a transaction. Something takes place. There's an exchange. The day over 25 years ago, I was in a church like this. The preacher preached the gospel. I sat there. I was far from God. And faith arose. And I responded to an altar call. I prayed. I said, Father, forgive me of my sins. That was the day I got saved. A transaction took place. God did a miracle. I became born again. Just like you and me. Just like you. Your name was recorded in heaven. There was a demand. I want you to know. This morning, that yellow, that supply line. This supply line represents God's sacredness on a Sunday. You don't have to be in church on a Sunday. But every Sunday, God is here. Every Sunday, God is supplying revelation. He's supplying truth. He's gonna help you separate your soul and your spirit. He's gonna give you vision next Sunday. But you've got to come. You've got to do your part. There's a God part. There's a man part. Do you understand? The world is not going to save itself. Jesus said, now go in vain. Go now. Go in this power, Gideon. Go in this might. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Go out there and change the world so that many more can get saved. Thank you. Thanks, Marcus. Give him a big hand. Listen, deputy principal, a school principal. What did I say? Yeah, thank you. His school is one of the top performing schools in the city. Amen. And it's not one of these big names here with all the budgets. Like, I'm from a very humble school, but that's incredible. He's placed a demand on what God has called him to be. Come on, you're going to do great things this year. So I want you to know that you are not cursed. That is a lie from the pit of hell. So between the cross and us going and changing the world and doing everything God has called us to do, I'm going to jump off the stage. Between, there's a battle. There's a resistance. There's something that you've got to have a little bit of grit. You've got to be a little bit spiritually discerning. You've got to have a fight. I want to tell you there's a fight here. Matthew 11 verse 12 says, since the days of John the Baptist, since days that people began to repent and preach the kingdom of God, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven, it suffers violently. Satan wants to keep you small. He wants to keep you quiet. He wants to keep you in bondage. He wants to keep you in fear. He wants to tell you that you are cursed. He wants you to tell you you're going to amount to nothing. But I want to tell you, our God is bigger than what the devil says. The lie is under your feet. Amen. And it's time the church begins to push back. Say amen. Say amen. Come on, man. Agree with your pastor. To hell with the devil. It's time we see God's rain of blessing fall upon this land. The drought is over. His blessing is coming to this land. We're going to see this building filled in the name of Jesus. We see people coming and hearing the gospel, not bound in religion, a form of godliness that has no power. I was there, man. You were there. We thought we had to dress up and look all smart, but we came in and we were changed by nothing till the day that God, till Jesus got a hold of us. Amen. So come on, let me equip you as the fivefold ministry teacher here. The result of this, let me get my breath back. Hallelujah. Yo, I'm preaching better than you clapping, yo. The result of this new creation and this truth does lead to a direct confrontation in the spirit realm. Now, we're not flaky. We don't just get all weird now. But you have to understand there is a confrontation. And the enemy and the prince of this world. Amen. He doesn't want you to be strong and empowered and victorious. There will always be people angry, jealous, rising up, lying, false witnesses, confrontational. That's the suffering. Not believing the lie, but believing that God loves us. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. But Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, yes, there is a struggle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the spiritual realm. Paul understood it. There is a spiritual realm. And Ephesians 6 reminds us that the struggle is real. The struggle is real, my brother. There's a battle. To invade a city with the gospel isn't just, oh well, everybody's just going to get saved, everybody's going to be happy. There's a resistance. The enemy would hate it if the city comes alive in Christ. The enemy will hate it if people make Sunday a sacred day and come and place a demand on God's supply. You will throw everything. That's why people will mock you. They will laugh at you. They'll mock you about your church. They'll mock sensitive, powerful subjects like tongues. They will foam at the mouth when you are being blessed financially. It's a mocking spirit of Satan that wants to keep the church poor and weaponless. You must discern it. Even Paul said you must discern what is going around you. Like the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times and seasons. Jesus said he rebuked the people of his day. He said, you discern the weather and the patterns of the weather more than you discern what's in front of you. The Son of God is standing right in front of you. We have to discern that people aren't always just going to celebrate Jesus. And that's okay, because since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffers violently. And let me tell you, the devil doesn't play nicely. He doesn't play soft like you playing with your little daughter. I would play with my kids. When they were small, I used to hit them, and then they'd hit me, and I'd fake that, oh, they're hurting me. These days, it's different. They hit me, I've got to keep it together and pretend that I'm not hurt. Because they've got stronger now, because their dad played with them when they were small. I want to tell you, the devil doesn't play games with you. He wants you out. He wants to steal. He wants to steal your joy, your peace, the inheritance that you have in Christ. You've got to stop playing games as a Christian. You can be a nice person, but you better be a lion in the spirit, my sister, my brother. You better roar again. You've got to be the four faces of God, the lion, the eagle, the man, and the ox. Don't play this wishy-washy, ankle-deep Christianity. It does nothing, man. It's lukewarm. You're backslidden. There's a resistance, and you have to resist it. The violent ones, you have to take it by force. Invasion is an attack on society. But it's not killing people. It's killing them with our love. It's saving them with the goodness of God. It's taking people on the other side of the enemy and bringing them over to us. Amen. Matthew 12, 11. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. And violent people are attacking it. Just settle with that, please. This safe Christianity doesn't exist. It's nowhere in the Bible. This weak Christianity, it doesn't work. It's a fairy tale. You and I are called to engage. Take hold of with faith. Fight, possess. Joshua, take the promised land. Every place, the soles of your feet, you must be the student revivalist there. Go and take every place. Walk around the hostels and say, Father, we claim the people for Jesus. They're going to get a degree, but they're going to get salvation as well. We pray. We come against any foul spirit that wants to keep our students bound up in addiction and drugs and alcoholism. You go there by faith and you push back darkness. It's time we see people standing up. You need to go for a prayer walk in your suburb, man. You need to go pray for your neighbors. Just walk around. Shira Barabasa, bless them, Father. We pray salvation. Come on, God will bless your hands. We need to start to invade. We have to get the prayer walks again alive in our suburbs, in our streets. Just go out and just take authority. and just speak the word of God. Bless them, I, in the city and in the field. Thank you for a revival in my street. Hallelujah. These people that aren't saved, these people that aren't working, Father, we thank you for work to be created for them. Poverty is from God. Where did you get that nonsense? Have you seen somebody in poverty? Does it bring God glory? No. It's listed under the curse in Deuteronomy chapter 28. That's why God says, hallelujah, Ephesians 1 verse 3. Now he has redeemed us and he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. Come on, he's going to supply your needs. He will supply your needs according to his riches. My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You shall lend to many nations. You shall not borrow. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall not want. The Lord shall provide. Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. Come on. You have to confront that spirit in your family. You have to confront that thing in your house and say, the Lord is with us. And when sickness wants to come and knock on your door, stand up and take your hands, like Mark 16 verse 15 says, hey, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I didn't say it, the Bible said it. Today you want to lay hands on people and they think you're weird. You want to cast out a demon and the religious people are foaming at the mouth saying that's not God. Excuse me, the OGs, the original church, in Jesus' day, Mark 16, 15, these signs shall accompany those who go out with his authority. Ephesians 6 says, warns us, remember there's a wrestle, there's a fight of wickedness and evil rulers in authority. But I want to tell you, he's given us a high authority. He's given us his name. He said, go in my name. In my name you will cast out demons. In my name you shall lay hands upon the sick. In my name. They will pray with new tongues. Kiraba sotolorobeshe, kiamasanda. What is that? That is a heavenly language. It is a sign for the non-believer. It shows you and me that the Bible is real. You have to go this week and go take your hands and lay hands on the sick. Say, Pastor, what if they don't get healed? Well, I haven't seen anybody worse off after you've prayed for them. And maybe they won't just be healed immediately, but go anyway. Because the attack is real. You have to push back. We can't just sit here. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It's invasion. Invade your city. Jesus came to give us life and life in abundance. Paul, on one of his missions, he was saying in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9, he was so excited, he was about to invade a region. He says, for a door to me has been opened. A great and effectual door. But there are withstanders. Withstanders are many. Another translation says, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, even though there are many who oppose me. So when there's a door that God wants you to go through, there may be resistance. And it's okay. You're praying for your dad to get saved, and it's like a wrestle. It's okay. Keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. Hallelujah. The first time I shared with my dad, he was like, no, he's not into church stuff. Praise Sierra. He got saved, he got baptized, he played bass in the band. He's in heaven today. Hallelujah. Don't stop with your family. Tell them about Jesus. If you want to be in God's will, his will has resistance. That's why faith is always required. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. But he also says that I may know him and his suffering. The suffering is sometimes resistance, rejection. The suffering is the confrontation, the battle that you and I have to face with the enemy. People not being happy about you being saved. Radical on fire. Receiving all that Christ meant for mankind. It's not deep theology. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. It's not deep theology. He didn't just die only for your sins. He died for your healing, for your blessing, for your prosperity, for your well-being. The curse has been removed. The fight is faith now. Remember that. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Psalm 103 verse 2 says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Full package. Full package. Everything. There's a supply, but we're not placing a demand. God has supplied forgiveness, but we don't think we're worthy. No, you are worthy. You are worthy to be forgiven. You can place a demand and receive and see a transaction with your Heavenly Father. He paid the highest price. You don't have to go through life thinking about, will I go to heaven? You don't have to fear death. You can know God. You can know God's will for your life. You can get to know the scriptures. You can enter His, you can go to heaven. And more importantly, you can be part of His army that invades this world with His love. My time comes to an end. I want you to know Psalm 103 verse 2 is a powerful scripture. It speaks again about soul and spirit. Soul and spirit. That's what David said. I must tell my mind, hey, bless the Lord, all my soul. Tell your soul to bless the Lord. Don't let your soul be tormented. Don't let your soul be anxiety. My wife was reminded, evil forebodings. Don't let evil forebodings, vain imaginations, a false play out of the scenario. A lie. Take that thought captive and bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all these benefits. What are all the benefits? Well, it's listed in the Bible for us. Sometimes if we just take time to read the Bible, we will get to know His will. It says, who forgives all my sins, who heals me of all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns, He makes me a king with His loving kindness and tender mercies. Hallelujah. He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm not going to just grow old and everybody's going to reject me. And I'm just going to, no, you are going to be renewed. You're going to be 90 years of age, maybe a little bit of a, but you're still going to have a bounce. You're going to be renewed. Come on, young person. You're not old. Don't be burnt out on this world's sin. Those who renew, those who wait upon the Lord shall mount upon wings of eagles. Hallelujah. The enemy doesn't want you blessed. I'll say that again. Don't believe the lie. If He would not withhold His Son, why would He withhold anything else? If you being evil, like the Bible says, know how to give your son or your daughter good things, how much more your Heavenly Father? We have to change our mindset. You don't go through this life with anxiety, worst case scenario, evil forebodings. You go through this life with heaven's vision, God's will for your life, the plans He has for us, plans to prosper you, Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, to give you a future, to give you an expected end, not an unexpected end. I really thought when I was young, I thought I was going to die young. I don't know why. It was a lie from the pit of hell. And then I read the scripture, with long life, He will satisfy you. I said, Jesus, hallelujah. Praise the Yerra. With long life, hallelujah. I took that word and I began to speak it over my future. And that lie was broken. And I said, I'm blessed. I'm going to live long. Even though there may have been health issues in my family, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. With long life, He will satisfy me. I will see my great-great-grandchildren. I will bless the Lord, oh my soul. I will not forget His benefits. Oh, I tell you, the areas that the devil attack you the most are the areas that he fears the most in your life. The attack that you've had in your life is because the enemy's been resisting you. He's been trying to keep you small and insignificant. Maybe you've had a financial battle. I want to know, I want to tell you, God, the enemy's been attacking you in that area because that is your weapon. He will restore the years the locusts have eaten. Listen, Ephesians 6 speaks about the armor of God. There comes a time sometimes where you feel a blow. You feel an arrow. An arrow. And it's not just an arrow, it's a fiery arrow. It burns. You've done life long enough, you'll have some shots. You'll have some scars. The trouble is real. I'm not yet trying to paint this perfect picture of Christianity. It's real. We have setbacks. Because there's a real enemy out there. The Bible says the enemy has fiery darts that he wants to shoot in your life to destroy you. And sometimes you feel them. Sometimes one comes through and hits you. And you're like, now we can blame God. Or we can just realize, okay, there is an enemy. There is a devil. It's not the end. Take that thing out like Rambo. Take out that arrow. Light it. Stop the bleeding. Say, Aina. Trample on it. And this time, like the Bible says, take up the shield of faith. This time I'm going to do it again, but in faith, by which you're able to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. I'm going to not just live life without a faith. I'm going to live a life of faith. Come on, if you're a believer, say amen. I'm a believer. Take up the shield of faith. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, man. It's time you take up your shield of faith. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's a double-edged sword. It'll cut the soul and the spirit. We don't want man-made stuff. We want heaven-made stuff. Jesus is building His church, and He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. God, pour your spiritual blessing on this church. This church, this house has much to do. We have much to do in the city. Pour out your spirit. Listen, the fire that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were, that fire does not come close to the fire of the devil, of those fiery darts. Come on. There is a fight. There is a fight. But God is with us. 1 John 4 verse 4. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. God dwells in us. I showed you that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Come on. Amen. We've rendered our hearts. We've put our hearts back on the altar. Living sacrifices. Here I am, Lord, use me. I may be ordinary. I might be simple. I may be like a common man, but there's nothing maybe special about me. And those are the ones God uses, because they can put their faith in God. Hallelujah. You might not have much, but I want to tell you, if you've got God, you've got everything. If you surrendered your life to Jesus, you're in covenant. Mark 10:27, Jesus looked at them. He said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I want you to know that this morning. Numbers 14 verse 8, there will be enemies and giants and obstacles. But let's be like Caleb. He said, if the Lord is with us, if the Lord delights in us, which He does, He will bring us into the land that God has given to us. Let's not be the 10 spies who were saved and delivered, yet they could not enter because of their unbelief. They got caught up in the wrestle. They could never go because there was a battle in their brains. They saw themselves as small in front of the enemies. They saw them as giants, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers. You are not a grasshopper. Greater is He who is in you than he who's in the world. You are bigger. You are stronger. Not because you're anything, but because the one who died on a cross lives on the inside of you. Come on, if the Lord delights in us, which He does. Thanks be to God who always gives us the victory. Thanks be to God who always gives us the victory. Come on, we've rendered our hearts. Now we ask God, Father, render the heavens. Pour out such a blessing. Can I ask you to raise your hand to heaven? Close your eyes. Father, in Jesus' name, we place a demand on your blessing here. The time the world sees the church, awake the mighty men, awake the mighty woman of God. Break the spirit of religion off of us once and for all. Let us go for the healing. Let us go for souls. Let us go for finances to be blessed and to prosper and to change a city. Let nothing hold us back. Break the curse. Release the fire and the flame. Render the heavens over our church. Let us go and see the lost saved. Let us preach the gospel. Let us have testimony upon testimony, miracle upon miracle. Let us fight. Let us resist the enemy. Let us be strong in our faith. Let us fight the good fight of faith. Let us not quit, but let our minds be tough, mentally tough, to break through, to burst into, to break forth, to see release, heaven over our church, Father. Let your spiritual rain come. We receive it today by faith in the name of Jesus. Now come on, if you've received that, say amen. And it's time you walk like that. You walk like a child of God. We're not arrogant. We just have a confidence. Our strength is in Him. If we boast, we boast in the Lord. If we brag, we brag in God, not in ourselves. Lest we forget. Lest we say, we did this by our own strength, by our own arm. Hallelujah. Come on, give Him some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You've come today, maybe a friend, a family member invited you. Maybe it's your first time in this building. You're a student, you're a family member. I want you to know that you're not here by accident. God loves you. And it's always God behind the invite. God is calling and speaking to you to follow Him, to walk with Him, to know Him. I don't want to tell you Jesus died publicly. And it's time that we also make public decisions. But first, I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody moving around. You're sitting here today and you've been listening to the words and you know God is calling you to live a life with Him. But if you're honest, if you're truthful with yourself, you don't know Him. You don't have a relationship. You're not saved. You're not born again. There's not a day in your life where you've publicly acknowledged and confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then you're in the right place. There's many of you here today in the valley of decision. Even while I was preaching, some of you I could just see that God was busy touching you in a special way. But you have to respond today. You can have all the supply in the world, but if you don't place a demand, if you don't respond, if you don't do your part, nothing changes. No transaction, no exchange. God wants to take your sin and give you His life, His righteousness, His holiness. We could never earn it. That's why only He could pay the price. And you're sitting here today, I want to give every person the opportunity to make right with God, to have a new beginning. Allow me the privilege to pray with you. If that is you, then quietly, unashamedly, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please just indicate to me right there where you are seated. Just slip up your hand. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to please raise your hand up high. Indicate to me right there where you sit. Say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I want to get to know God more. I want to follow Jesus. I want this life, this eternal life that you spoke about. I see now what the gospel means. Well, you have to receive it. Allow me to pray with you. On the count of three, if that is you, just slip up your hand boldly, unashamedly. Forget the person next to you, because they are so busy making their own decision right now. God says He puts life and death before us, blessing and cursing. But choose life. Choose His Son. One, two, three. Just slip it up high. God bless you. Thank you. Donkey. Bye, donkey. Many hands. Thank you. Come on, slip up your hand. You know God is calling you. God's not manipulating you today. It's a free will, but you know there's an unction. You're ready to call upon the name of God today. Thank you. Slip it up high. One more time, you haven't raised your hand. Maybe you once served God. You went to church as a young person, but life happened and you've lost your way. But today, like the prodigal, you want to come home. If that is you, please slip up your hand, man. Slip up your hand, sir. God bless you. Buy a donkey, many hands. Thank you. Hallelujah. Church, won't you look at me? Right across this place, there were many of you that raised your hands. Many of you invited your friends, your loved ones. Your love and encouragement will help them make the right decision today. So right across this place, we're going to sing a song in a moment. I need you to do one more thing for me. Jesus died publicly. We don't need you to be ashamed. We need you to stand for Him in His house. It's not a walk of shame. It's a walk of glory. I need you to please make your way to the nearest aisle. Bring your personal belongings. All you beautiful people that raised your hands. Maybe you didn't, but you know you should have. Then just come right now as we sing a beautiful song. just come as we all stand. Come and meet me here in the front at the altar. I want to pray with you here at this altar. So come on, let's cheer them on. Let's cheer them on. Turn to your neighbor, say, if you want to go, I'll come with you.
Go.
Come on, we're going to wait for you. Come, come.
By His love there is freedom. Call on the name that can set you free. Come to Jesus. There is new life, there is freedom.
Come on, there's more of you. Please, come, come.
By His love there is freedom. Call on the name that can set you free. So,
come on, there's more of you.
And they've left
that block there. Just come in the middle. Come. Come on, if you can't stand for God here in His house, how will you stand out there? Please, we come. Come. We're going to wait for you. Come. Okay. Hallelujah. Listen with respect. Please just turn to your neighbor and say, listen, if you want to go, I'll go with you. Just ask them. This is not to embarrass you. It's not to manipulate you. But sometimes, like Andrew had to call his brother, say, hey, come, we found the Messiah. Come, I found Christ. Come. Just turn to your neighbor and say, if you want to go, I'll come with you. We'll be two today. Quickly, just turn. Just have a look. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. And if anybody wants to go, come on, just lead them. Walk in front. Be a leader. Come on, dad, be a leader to your family. Lead your family to Christ. Come on, dad. Come on, mother. Yes, come on. Lead your friends to Jesus. Come on, it's time we see positive peer pressure in the schools. Use your influence. Hey, man, use your influence for the kingdom of God. Don't use your influence just for yourself. Use your influence. Come on, you're the boss at the company. Invite your staff to work. I mean, to church. Come on, you're a senior in high school. Invite the juniors to school, to church. If you're a fourth year student, go to all the first years and say, come with us to church on Sunday. Use your influence, coach. Bring the youngsters to the house of God. Use your influence. Like Esther, she saved the whole nation. Use your influence to advance God's kingdom. Say amen, Pastor. No, come on. Say with me. You need to use your influence to advance God's kingdom. Stop being so passive. Stop being, well, it's not my place. I'm going to offend somebody if I open the Bible. No, to hell with that, man. That's exactly it. The devil is getting all the glory because he silenced your voice. There's nothing wrong in sharing and preaching the gospel. We live in a new democracy. Amen. There is no law. We're not living in China where if you preach the gospel, they can lock you up. Maybe they will in the future, but until then, you preach the gospel. You go to the school, you go to the university, you preach the gospel. Amen. If you're in trouble, come speak with us. We'll help you as the staff. But it's time that we must stop this nonsense that we have to now be so sensitive to accommodate the non-Christians who represent like a 3%. You watch that 3% of the non-Christians, the other religions. They are radical, men. They're busy trying to take our nation and the church is asleep. It's time you use your influence and you speak up at your school, in that government department, you preach the gospel. You shine your light. It's time you push back. Say amen, I suppose. Use your influence. Use your influence. Or your influence will be taken away. God promotes people for purpose. He will promote you. He will bless you. He will anoint you. He will take you places. But don't forget the purpose, Esther. Don't forget, because deliverance will come by then another means. Then God doesn't need you. But say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Promote me. Favor me. Give me the boss's position for the kingdom of God. Amen. Come on, let's thank all these wonderful people. Thank you for coming out today. We're so proud of every one of you. Thank you. This is amazing. Let's stretch our hands towards them. I'm going to ask you to place your hand on your heart if you can and say this loud enough. Say this that you can hear your words. It's your prayer. Mix your faith. You're placing a demand on that slide, on that supply. And there is a transaction that's going to take place today because of your faith. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, this morning I believe that you are the Son of God, that you came to this earth from heaven. You died on a cross for all my sins. You went to hell. You conquered the grave. And on the third day, the Father resurrected you. I put my faith in you. I receive your forgiveness. I repent of all my sins. And I thank you for a new beginning. I give you my life. From this day forward, I'm a child of God. I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.